get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here sitting next to Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great. You know what today is?
It is the spring football.
It is back in the air. The red and white game, the spring football game at OU.
It's today. I think OSU is also playing those.
Oh, well.
It's like you got to recognize your kid brother, too.
There you go.
Boy, I made somebody mad there.
I know, right? Well, half of our team, yes. Well, we've got, we will have a good afternoon with Scott Hill, our home inspector that we depend on. Call us First Home Inspections, and we're going to meet up with some other realtors there as well that he works with. I love to kind of network with other realtors on a friendly basis. We had dinner with Jenny Whitten last night, and Jenny Whitten's with Keller Williams and does a lot of property management. She does a lot of real estate, and I think some people in the public sometimes does not realize that we're friends with our competitors.
Yeah, this is it's an interesting business where you compete against other realtors, but you also have to have a cooperation, because you, most of the time, you have two realtors in order to get a deal done.
You do. And I mean, if you're too adversarial, there's a difference in being assertive and aggressive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And being a good negotiator, you can do that and still be friendly. So anyway, we had a good time. We went to the St. Eugene's gala last night, and you'll never guess what my daughter and Jenny Whitten bought together. Well, it was really their husbands.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you, did they have a silent auction?
They had a silent auction, which of course I won, right? A few things, because but they also had a live auction, and uh-huh, they auctioned off principal for a day. And it was $900 is what the bid was. And the husbands of Emily and my daughter and Jenny Whitten were, they had bid up to that point. But, and then, well, actually he had bid, David Dabrowski had bid $900, and then it was to him. I mean, he had to go to $950, and Kent says, $950, I'll pitch in, let's split it. And so they each have moderate to severely autistic kids.
Yeah.
And they're going to be co-principals of the day at St. Charles. So that day is going to look a lot like playing Mario Kart all day long.
That's funny. That's a
It was
fun
a good
time.
Fundraiser, though. Yeah. We had a good time. And I met Father Mark Mason, who is headed to Enid right now. So safe travels, Father Mason. He sat next to me at the table, and he was the uncle of the kids. So anyway.
Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
We go on.
Right.
Right?
It's a great weekend. Lots of things happening around the Oklahoma metro area, because you have the Arts Festival is this weekend, which is one of my favorite things to do, is to walk the Art Festival.
I know.
I love it.
That's our day tomorrow.
That's what I'm kind of hoping the wind would.
Oh, my gosh. Are you tired of it?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
What'd you say over the last how many days?
Yeah, over the last 30 days, it has been under 15 miles per hour.
Over 15
miles per hour every day except for one.
And it was 14 miles per hour, right?
So, which for my wife Marissa and I, we go out cycling, and the for her, 15 miles an hour is the maximum she will go out and cycle, because you get blown around. She says, "I get blown around with the wind."
Well, Let's get to real estate. What do you say?
Well, let's do it. So today we're talking about disclosures.
Disclosures. Well, when you talk about disclosures, you have to talk about disclaimers. Right? So some properties qualify for an exemption, and you don't have to do a disclosure on them. So what are well, and then lead-based paint, of course. You've got to talk about lead-based paint. If your property was built prior to 1978, you have to disclose if you know whether or not there's lead-based paint in it.
Now, what's important about the year 1978 that made that year the cutoff?
Okay. Paint supposedly has an eight-year lifespan. So those of you that need to clean out your garage, be aware, okay? There's an eight-year life span on paint on the shelves in stores, okay? So when they quit making paint in lead-based paint in 1970, so they assume that anything built 1978 or afterwards is not going to have lead-based paint in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The dangers of lead-based paint are I'm no CDC or anything like that. Don't call me Dr. Fauci for sure. But the lead-based paint, if ingested lead, can damage your nervous system and diminish your capacity of your brain. And some of us don't need any more of that. I had a cousin one time that said, heck, I went back for seconds. And I was going, yes, you did. And pets, it's damaging also for pets. So, and the remedy for lead-based paint, if you have lead-based paint, you paint over it. You scrape off the old stuff, but you have to contain it.
Yeah.
You have to gather up every little chip. You can't just put it into the atmosphere and into the ground, because then a pet or a child could ingest it, because kids put things in their mouth. So, so it's not a big deal. It's just you have to say whether or not you are knowledgeable about lead-based paint. Our disclosures, by the way, are worded to where they're pretty forgiving of a seller, because they don't say, is there lead-based paint? It says, seller, known lead, you get to choose presence of lead-based paint or lead-based paint hazards. Either you have known lead-based paint, or seller has no knowledge of lead-based paint. So it's not like you're, I think I've only had three properties in my career tested for lead-based paint. People don't care.
Yeah.
Basically, because it's been painted over and sealed up.
Yeah, I'm trying to think in the last, especially the last couple of years, I mean, I don't think I've seen anyone check the box of lead-based paint in quite some time.
You mean check that it does have lead-based paint?
That there's knowledge of lead-based paint.
I've had two or three, but it's been a while back. Yeah. But those are usually like people who know. And the thing is the old cabinets, I say old, maybe from the 50s and 60s that have not been sanded down and refinished. People don't know that shellac contained lead.
Oh, really?
And so, but they just think of wall paint.
Yeah.
So, but that shellac and varnish stuff, man, it adheres. You don't ever see that flaking off. So it's not really very much of a hazard.
It's stuck in there. If you want to join the conversation today, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000, 405-840-1000. We'll be right back after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time to talk to our money man.
NMLS number
1197740.
Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Matt?
Doing fantastic. Good morning, Mark and Becky.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on in the market. Things are changing, aren't they?
Yeah, I tell you, they are. Although, you know, we actually some stability this week with interest rates, which was a little bit of a relief. But yeah, you know, guys, we've experienced increases in interest rates. Now, if you look back historically, rates are still very, very good. They're just not where they were a year and a half ago.
Well, the rates haven't gone up as fast as and as volatile as they did in the 80s, for sure.
No, yeah.
I'll never forget May of 1988. It went from 8% to 10.5% in one jump.
Right.
No, not gradually. I this was 1 minute, it was 8%. The next minute, it was 10.5%.
Right. Wow. Right. No, you're right. You know, we're not seeing the surprise from people like we did several months ago. You know, so much media attention around rates. But, you know, again, they're still very, very good. We're somewhere in the mid to high, you know, 5% range. So it's still a good time to be in the market and buy a home.
Can someone buy points and buy the interest rate down? Because I saw someone lock in this week to a 4.55%.
Yeah, great question, Becky. And absolutely you can. And, you know, discount points, that can get a little bit confusing, but you can pay points to reduce your interest rate. And we are seeing that more than we have in quite some time.
Well, so you can pay, like, interest up front. Like 1% or 0.5% or 2% of the loan amount to reduce your 30-year rate.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So the higher percentage of points you pay, the lower rate you can get. And, you know, that's something that Dean and I, when we sit down with clients, we review that. And hopefully they have enough information, they should, to make a good educated decision.
That's great.
Well, one of the things I love, Matt, is every Friday I get an email from you and also from Dean. I get one from both of you guys of having the market in a minute. And you give me a synopsis of what the market is doing. It's a great little email tool that you send out.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is. It's helpful. You know, it's just something that we as business partners, we need to be in tune with so we can share with our clients.
If you want to get a hold of Dean Riddell and Matt McLean at SWBC Mortgage, you can give them a call at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. Or go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's Favorites, and they'll be right there at the top. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're talking disclosures today. And what? I mean, why is it that you would even fill out a disclosure on your property?
Well, number one,
it's the law.
But it is kind of a strange thing that you go, you're selling your property. What is it that you have to say? What is it that you don't have to say?
Well, because it's the law, it's very specific. And so the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission interprets the laws that are set by our legislature. And they have a three-page document called Appendix A, because this is an appendix to the real estate contract. And it is Appendix A, Residential Property Condition Disclosure Statement. And there is a big bold line around some stuff at the top that everyone just looks right over. I always start at the top of the page and say, start from the top of the page and read down. When you get to this point, you're going to start making check marks or X's as to what your property contains. So really, it just states the law, you know, Title 60 of the law that requires sellers of one or two dwelling units to complete this form. Now, evidently, if you own a bunch of property, does that mean you don't have to do it? No, that's not true. What that really means is single family dwelling and duplex dwelling. But if you, for commercial property, there is no disclosure required. Now, sometimes you've got to disclose on commercial property in order to get it sold. People want to know things. They want to know what type of electric do you have? What type of roof is on top of this building? But today we're going to be talking about residential. And the first question someone has asked is, the seller is or is not occupying the subject property, particularly in today's climate where we have so many buyers coming from out of state. Well, they need to know, is there a tenant in there? How much does the owner of the property know about the property? Now, I have, more often than I care to think about, have someone check both of those, is and is not occupying the property, because they are divorcing. Mm. One is living there and one is not living there. And I have them put their initials on that. And what are the categories, Mark? I mean, the systems, appliances and systems and services and stuff, we'll go through that list, but what do they have to answer about that?
Yeah, so they have to answer whether they are working, whether they are not working, whether you do not know if they're working, or it's just not included, something that's just not at the house. So, well, for example, a sprinkler system. If you don't have a sprinkler system, there's nothing to disclose.
There you go.
It's not there.
You know, too often it's the sprinkler system's been abandoned and no one's done it, but that you do disclose,
yeah,
and write not working, abandoned, or something like that on there. So the systems and appliances and stuff that are asked on this disclosure form, our sprinkler system was one of them. And what are some of the other things on there?
Yeah, so you basically go through, like, the things that would be on the plumbing system would be, you know, the water heater, water purifier, water softener, whether the has a Whirlpool tub, sewer system, you know, and like, but for example, in the sewer system, you have to check whether it's public or whether it's septic.
Or lagoon. Yes.
Have you ever had that checked? Have you really?
Yes. I've sold properties with lagoons. Yeah, acreages out on east side of Oklahoma County.
Yeah.
There's a couple of additions out there, and east side of Cleveland County also. I've sold some of those out there. And if you've got a swimming pool or hot tub, you need to disclose whether it's working or not. And then that, like, when you check the water heater, you check whether or not it's electric or gas or solar, and sometimes, which, and I guess geothermal, you could do a geothermal, I suppose, on a water heater, but most of the time, the geothermal will apply to the heating, air conditioning, and ventilation. So HVAC, heating, ventilation, air conditioning, right? So you have to disclose whether or not there's window units. Whether or not there's an attic fan. People get confused about attic fans and roof vents, but attic fans come from they suck the air out of the house, whereas roof vents suck the air out of the attic.
I have shown several houses where usually they're built in the 50s and 60s where they have the attic vent. You know, it would be like a light switch in the hallway. And I would say about half the time they're not functioning, and half the time they do function to some sort.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of people just, like, they flip it thinking it's going to be a light, and all of a sudden this really loud
suction fan through the house.
Yeah. But it
moves there. Their toupee flies off,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So, you know, back when I first started selling real estate in the late 70s, they were a lot more common than they are now. Because people didn't run their air conditioners quite as much. When you got to the late 70s, folks were, you know, that was the oil boom.
Yeah.
And people were spending money and didn't care so much about attic fans. But they were already installed in a lot of homes. And if you're not going to run your air conditioner and you, like, crack your window an inch or so, in one or two rooms, man, it exchanges the air so fast, that attic fan does. It gets rid of the hot air and pulls in that, you know, cool evening air.
Yeah, from the outside.
So, yeah. But fireplaces are something that is on here. You've got to check whether or not you've got fireplace and whether it's working. A lot of people don't know whether their fireplace is working.
Yeah, that's one on the check, especially if it's just a wood-burning fireplace.
Right.
Is it working?
Like, well.
Well, I mean, when's the last time a fire was built in there?
Yeah, I know, right? And how soon? But you can elaborate by attaching a sheet to this. But whether or not the house has a humidifier, ceiling fans, it's funny to me that those are still on this sheet, because back when this was originated, ceiling fans cost $400 to $800. They were a new thing, and if they worked, was a big deal. Now they're $99. You can pick up a ceiling fan, right?
Well, usually there's multiple in a house, so
right.
Which ceiling fan's working or not working?
I know.
Yeah, with that. If you want to join the conversation today, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. We'll be back right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins talking about disclosures today. And it's time for our word of the day. Word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. You can give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Mandatory.
Mandatory. So what in disclosures are mandatory? So what does mandatory mean?
Well, it's compulsory. It's required by law or rule is mandatory. Okay, so it is mandatory that a seller fill out a seller disclosure form, whether you're selling it for sale by owner, you're selling it with a realtor, or you're auctioning it off. If you own that property, and you have to fill out a property condition disclosure form. There are some exemptions to that that you don't have to fill out. And the exemptions are... there's a few. Transfer pursuant to court order. Okay, that is, a transfer. Well, I mean, we could get eminent domain, basically. You don't have to fill out a disclosure. Transfer to a mortgagee by a mortgagor, as in a foreclosure. Or if you're transferring it voluntarily, it would be a deed in lieu of foreclosure, but you don't have to fill out a disclosure then. What are a couple of others, Mark?
So transfer from one co-owner to one or more of the other co-owners, that if you're going to transfer that over.
Like from one spouse to the next.
Transfer to a spouse.
Okay.
Yep.
In a divorce.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Even if they're an ex-spouse. Okay.
So transfers that are like mergers or from a subsidiary to a parent or the reverse.
Okay. Transfers or exchanges to or from any government entity, which is interesting because like a HUD house, you buy a foreclosed property that HUD has taken ownership of. HUD is not required.
It's not to have a disclosures.
To fill out an a disclosure. Newly constructed property not previously occupied is exempt from filling out a disclosure. And then a fiduciary who's not an owner-occupant of the property, but in the course of administration of like an estate or guardianship or conservatorship, they do not have to fill out. They can if they want to, but they're not required. It's not mandatory for them. So there are some legal exemptions to filling out disclosures, But and for the most part, everybody has to do it. What are some of the other items that we have to disclose on?
Yeah, so, I mean, you have to disclose whether things like there is there a security system? Is there smoke detectors? Are they working? The kitchen stove, all the little things that are in it. And you just have to walk through and checklist.
And you think about this, and a lot of the times you think, well, why is this important? Well, the buyer needs to know things like, is there gas service to the home? It can be a total electric home and have natural gas service. Or if it doesn't have natural gas service, somebody needs to know that. Is the propane tank leased or is it owned? That can be a sticking point, much like the security system used to be. Used to, security systems were thousands of dollars, and they were leased. And if you, the new buyer didn't take over the security system, the company would come take it out, and the seller of that property would owe the remainder of that contract. So whether or not a property has something in it is sometimes important, like an air purifier, garage door opener, intercom, central vacuum. Those things are important. Does the electrical wiring work? Well, that's pretty broad. But if there's something that doesn't work, like you have a breaker that flips all the time, that needs to be disclosed. And I will tell you that the buyer who will not buy a property if they knew something that was wrong is not the person you want to sell that property to. You want to sell the property to someone that you've disclosed it to and they're still okay with it. Because otherwise a lawsuit lingers and hangs like heavy fog over your head.
So this, Becky, is one of the most litigated area of real estate.
By far
it
the
is.
Most litigated area.
Yeah. Should the seller have disclosed this item, and did they know about the problem?
Right. And then the source of household water, is there a well on the property? Or maybe there is a well for irrigation of the outside and maybe to fill up the swimming pool. And maybe it's still hooked up to a municipality. Is the water meter owned, or is it something, man, we had that problem. Our contracts have been rewritten, our contract forms, to include the water meter. Because like in Deer Creek, you would have to pay $2,500, it's probably $3,500 now, but I've had a couple of these that where the seller took the water meter when they left, because when they picked up that water meter from the city, it costs, or from the Deer Creek Water,
yeah,
it cost $2,500. So they took it and returned it and got their money back. And then the buyer would move in and have absolutely no water. And it was usually a Friday night, you know, because they close on Friday and move over the weekend.
Yeah.
So that can be a real problem. So what are some of the other things?
So when you get to the second page is where a lot of the big money critical things start to really get in over, it's what's the flood zone status?
Yes. That's what is the flood zone of the property. The first section, actually, if you look at the disclosure form, the first section is labeled zoning and historical. Does it sit in a historical district, which would put, a lot of restrictions on whether or not, like, you can replace windows or the front door, whether you can paint it a certain color. I mean, there's things on a historical district or a municipal special design district that you need to disclose whether or not it's located in those. And how is it zoned? I mean, is it zoned residential or commercial? That's or agricultural or urban conservation. There's lots of zoning. But someone needs to know what the property's zoned. And you can find a map, by the way, on, you go to each city and they will have a map online as to how a property's zoned, and you can just zoom right in and find the property you're looking for.
Yeah, and I would say with this particular zoning, this is what the seller is saying it's zoned, which may be different than what it's actually zoned.
Sellers sometimes think their property's zoned. We get people stating residential a lot when it's actually zoned agricultural.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all you've got to do is go to the map and look at it. So, and then the next section is flood and water. Like, what is the flood status of the property? And are you aware of that the property is located in a floodway as defined by the Oklahoma Floodplain Management Act? Well, these are yes or no questions. And so the tricky part of that question is, are you aware of? Well, if you've never looked at the map, you are not aware.
Yeah.
So you just have to check no. And it's not your job, by the way, to go research all of this. The buyer's job, that we still have buyer beware, even though we have property disclosures, because the buyer can go check all this during their inspection period. They can go check the flood maps. They can go check if there's been sewer backup in the area, you know, the city sewer, whether or not, you know, certain utility easements and stuff. So there's a lot that a buyer can check out ahead of time. And are you aware of the insurance, flood insurance requirements, or do you have flood insurance on the property? Has the property ever been affected by flood, storm runoff, sewer backup, draining, or grading defects? Grading of property is a big deal. We used to have a home inspector in the area that never met a property that didn't need to be regraded. And we would just avoid that home inspector because, yeah, ideally properties need to be you need water to flow away from the structure.
Right.
But sometimes that can be taken to an extreme.
I mean, that one line as far as are you aware of any property damage affected by flood, or that is one of those that gets, I think, just litigated over, did you know? So like when I lived in North Carolina, I had a property, had a creek in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, does this creek ever flood? You know, have you ever had it into the backyard? No, never had it into the backyard. Never had it in the backyard. Well, come to find out, every big storm,
it has
water.
In the backyard.
It was in the backyard.
I lived in a house in Rollingwood that had the same thing, and I swear it would white cap in my backyard with our Oklahoma wind.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But you also have to answer, is there a drainage system in place? Either a bubble-up drain that just kind of transfers the water from a low part of the yard and bubbles up in another part of the yard, or French drain system. And water in the ducts of a heating and air conditioning system. Most of our newer homes since about 1990 were built with overhead heating and air conditioning system. If those flood, we're all in real trouble, right? Or if water has seeped into any of the improvements of the house.
So the other part of it that that we're going to get into is, has there been repairs? Has there been things that you know? And then what about that pesky roof? We'll come back with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We have a caller, Mark's on the line with us. Good morning, Mark.
Yeah, good morning.
What question can we answer for you?
I'm just curious. Becky Ivins has a listing on Northwest 10th right across from the fairgrounds. Is she there with you this morning?
Yes, Becky? She is. Yep.
I'm here. What do you need to know?
Good morning, Becky. I'm just kind of curious if you give me a ballpark figure on the listing price. But I've seen that house numerous times, but that Northwest 10th Street is awful busy in there, and it seems like it'd be
cheap, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. You tell me. Well, it depends on what cheap is.
Mark Carr's going to look that up for us because I don't have my listings memorized, all of them. So Mark will look that up while we go through some of the environmental concerns of Go ahead, Mark. Go ahead. Tell me. Tell me about what do you want to know about it, like the list price?
Yeah. Ballpark figure.
Okay. Well, we will. Okay. I'm going to give you kind of the 40, guts 50, of it.
Go ahead. 60, 70.
Okay. We'll do it. Okay. We're going back to our disclosures. And the next thing on the disclosure sheet is additions, alterations, and repairs. And have you made any additions without permits? Are you aware of previous foundation repairs, whether you did those repairs or you're aware that someone previous to you did the repairs? You need to answer that honestly. And then are you aware of alterations or repairs been made to correct any other defects set in the interior, exterior walls, ceiling, roof, slab, foundation, basement, storm cellar, floors, windows, doors, fences, or garage? That's a lot, right? And if the roof has been repaired or replaced during your ownership, how many layers are on it? About how old is the roof? Do you know? And if you don't know, you don't put it down here. You don't guesstimate that because you could be held accountable to your answer you put on here. And are you aware of any current defects with the roof? Are you aware of treatment for termites or wood destroying organism infestation? And are you aware of a termite bait system installed on the property? Is it being monitored? And how much does it cost? And are you aware of any damage by wood destroying organisms such as termites, roly-polies, carpenter ants? There's a lot of things that can damage wood rot.
The roly-polies was the one that, because I used to love having the roly-polies around as a kid.
When you're
I didn't realize, right.
They're your friend, but when you're
awful 40, little bug that is.
When you're 40, they are no longer your
they
friend.
They are not your friend anymore.
Are you aware of any major fire or tornado or earthquake or wind damage to the property? And have you ever received payment? This is a new question. Have you ever received payment on an insurance claim for damages to the property or any of the improvements that were not repaired? A lot of people don't repair everything when they get that insurance claim. They'll go, oh, I'm not going to replace the gutter because it looks okay to me. It's going to work. And I've got to absorb that to help cover my deductible, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. Mark, tell us our smoking hot deal.
It is time for our smoking hot deal. Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food. And coming soon to Yukon.
I'm excited about that.
I know, Casa Perico. So our smoking hot deal is on Wood Duck Drive, 8121 Wood Duck Drive. Which is, I'm sorry, that is not our smoking hot deal.
No, but that is that a is house a great, that's going to be held open tomorrow, right?
It is, yeah. Joe will be holding Wood Duck open tomorrow. And so it's a great
Wilshire Ridge.
Just
has solar panels.
Wilshire and Council. Great.
Right.
Beautiful newly installed solar panels there. If that's something that is of interest to you, go see Joe tomorrow there at that open house. Our smoking hot deal is 2504 Tall Oaks Trail in Edmond. It's in the Ramblewood Hills edition. So this is a home on an acre that backs up to a creek, has a great pool in the back. It's a 4-bedroom, 2.5 bath, just over 2,300 square foot, built in 1971. So if you think of like the ranch style, kind of everything's kind of long stretched.
Tall vaulted home. Ceiling.
So it does not in the
living room. Yes,
it does.
Yeah,
So really, really nice. The acreage. If you're looking for an acre in Edmond,
mm-hmm. How much
this
is
calling? It is listed at $400,000.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a I mean, it's a right on. It's on a corner, and the street on the other corner is a cul-de-sac.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so nice little.
Not a lot of traffic.
Correct.
Okay, so I want you to look up 10th Street so that we can answer the question. And then,
so, Mark, on 10th Street, if you're still listening, Mark, that was listed for $125,000, is currently pending.
How many days was that on the market?
It was on the market 2 days.
And, yes.
And I think the last day of that was actually just negotiating.
Right, because we multiple
right.
offers
on that.
It was
multiple offer.
So you would think that would be like a $55,000 house, but it was $125,000 house. And chances are, I can't discuss what it sold for, but when you have multiple offers, it often sells for more than the list price.
Yeah.
So the fire sale in Oklahoma is over, right? Let's go back to our disclosure. Environmental. I'm going to run through the environmental questions real quick. Are you aware of the presence of asbestos or radon gas? Have you tested for radon gas? Are you aware of any lead-based paint? Have you tested for lead-based paint? Are you aware of any underground storage tanks or the presence of a landfill on the property? Are you aware of the existence of hazardous or regulated material or other conditions having an environmental impact? Are you aware of the existence of the prior manufacturing of methamphetamine? That's dangerous if there is prior.
Yeah.
It's a certain cleanup process, right?
That is one of the things that we have to disclose.
Yes. And then, and we sell those, by the way. It's just that they have to be cleaned up in a certain mm-hmm. way. And are you aware, have you had the property inspected for mold? Has there been any remedial treatment for mold? Sometimes answering no to those doesn't mean you're in good shape, by the way, because you, if there's, it looks like there's mold, you probably want to get it tested. And are you aware of any condition that would impair the health or safety of the occupants of the property? And are you aware of any wells located on the property or any dams located on the property that, and whether or not those dams are the responsibility of the homeowner, the maintenance of those dams? Because we sell a lot of little lake, small lake properties. Yeah. I mean, like there'll be a little lake. So we do that. And then some of the other things, what's our next category?
Yeah, the next one is just common elements and easements and homeowners association. Is it located in a part of a, is a part of a homeowners association?
And what things are shared with other homeowners, like fences
shared
or driveways?
Shared fences is one most common.
Roads and utility easements, encroachments. Is somebody else hanging over onto your property? Is there a storage shed located onto your property? There's a lot of things, building code violations and any notices from government agencies, is a property in foreclosure. There's a lot on this disclosure. So if you're a buyer, please read those. And
then as a realtor, Becky, if you are aware of something that needs to be disclosed and the seller has not disclosed it, what are you required to do?
We are required to fill out a licensee disclosure stating a defect of a property. You guys are kind to tune in and listen to us each week. We're going to have a surveyor here next week, and we're going to be talking a little bit about boundaries and easements.
Ooh. Thanks for being with us this week on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.